The date was in the 1960s, and the place was Austria. A Jewish lady by the name of Mrs. Rosenberg was stranded late one night in a fashionable resort, one that did not admit Jews. And the clerk looked down at his book and said, "Sorry, there is no room. The hotel is full." Mrs. Rosenberg said, "But your sign says that you have vacancies." And the clerk, feeling quite uncomfortable, and stammered and said curtly, "You know that we do not admit Jews. Now, will you try the other side of town, please?" Mrs. Rosenberg stiffened and said, "I'll have you know, I have converted to your religion." The desk clerk said, "Oh, really? Let me give you a little test. How was Jesus born?" "He was born to a virgin named Mary in a little town called Bethlehem." "Very good," he said. "Tell me more." "He was born in a manger." "That's right," said the hotel clerk. "And why was he born in a manger?" She looked at him and loudly said, "That is because a jerk like you wouldn't give a Jewish lady a room for night." Now, we all have heard the Christmas story. We've heard it maybe for the first time this evening, but others may have heard it for the 100th time or more. We all know what happened there. But of all the cities, of all the towns, of all the villages in Palestine, why did the Lord God choose such an unheard of hamlet as Bethlehem for the birth of the greatest figure to ever enter human history? If there were a site selection committee and they were to appoint, the name Bethlehem never would have made the list. There are all kinds of important reasons to favor another location. I think of the city of Hebron. Hebron played an important role in the beginning of Hebrew history. Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, and later David, all associated with Hebron. In fact, David was anointed king there. He made it his capital before he moved the capital to Jerusalem. Which, we ask, why not Jerusalem? It's an even more logical choice. Over 3,300 times Jerusalem is mentioned in the Bible, in the Old Testament alone. For centuries, from the day David captured it from the Jebusites to make it his city, Jerusalem was a center of religion, of civil, of political life within Israel. The magnificent temple that Solomon built, not to mention the royal palace, was in Jerusalem. Any site committee or selection committee would be hard-pressed to find reason to deny Jerusalem the privilege of welcoming the new king. But Jerusalem failed to make the cut. Then there was Nazareth. Nazareth is a good place, maybe. It's where Mary and Joseph lived. It's a logical favorite because that's their home. Why not have the birth where they live? It makes sense. It offered the most inconvenience. Life could go on as usual for Joseph and Mary and Jesus, surrounded by relatives and neighbors. No interruptions to the daily flow of life. It could have just happened in Nazareth. So why Bethlehem? The ancient prophet Micah, in his own words, said Bethlehem was small among the clans of Judah. But for whatever the reasons, Bethlehem never rose to a position of prominence in the entire history of Israel. Bethlehem was situated about 5 or 6 miles southwest of Jerusalem, in a region known for its fertile hills and valleys. Bethlehem was the burial place of Rachel, the wife of Jacob, the original home of Naomi and her family. It was also the setting for much of the book of Ruth. It was in Bethlehem Israel's great and ideal king poet, hero. King David was born and grew up. After being destroyed, he was rebuilt and fortified by King Rehoboam. It's kind of a funny thing to say, to fortify a hamlet. He just put a few places back up in place. He didn't actually fortify it. But for the most part, people came and went into Bethlehem with no sense of destiny for many years. The notion of obscurity is captured from, or by a verse from one of the favorite songs during the Christmas season. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above the deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. When I think of Bethlehem and how obscure it is and irrelevant it is, it makes me think of Headingley. About 6 miles away from Winnipeg, what really happens there? Most of us drive through it without even realizing it. That was Bethlehem. Yeah, there are a few people who live there. Thanks, Walter. And Chris. But Bethlehem's beginning dates back to a very dim part of history. It's lain still in a deep and dreamless sleep for nearly 2,000 years before shepherds came to seek a babe lying in a manger. Before magi from the east were led by a star and bowed down and worshipped a new king. So why wake Bethlehem? The Bible first speaks of Bethlehem in Genesis chapter 35, where it says, then they moved on from Bethel. While they were there, there were still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. And as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, don't be afraid, for you have another son. As she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Benoni, but his father named him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is, Bethlehem. Now there's some interesting things that happened here in the very first mention of Bethlehem. We see that Jacob and Rachel journey from Bethel. Bethel is where God spoke to Jacob, changing his name to Israel. Bethel means the house of God. Beth is Hebrew for house and El is God. So as they left Bethel, Rachel began to go into labor. And they were a short distance from a town of Ephrath, which in Hebrew ironically means fertility or fruitful, which is a symbol of life. And when you look at a passage like this with the understanding of the Hebrew language and the people that they would have had, it becomes a passage full of biblical puns and humor, even though it's sad. If we were to use a rough paraphrase of this passage, it goes something like this. As they left the house of God on their way to the town of fertility, which is life, they almost made it before pain in labor takes over. There she gives birth and died, naming her child Benoni, which means son of my pain. Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, which is life, or as Jacob now calls it, Bethlehem, for that is the house of bread. See, Bethlehem is the Hebrew word which literally means house of bread. And as we celebrate the one who was born in Bethlehem, I see three really significant things about Bethlehem. First of all, Christ was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, to identify with us, common man. Jesus was not born in the house of royalty or the house of riches or the house of celebrity or the house of honor or the house of anything. Jesus was not born in Jerusalem or Rome or Athens or Alexandria. He was not born in any political, commercial, cultural, educational, socially significant city of the day. When Micah, the Old Testament prophet, foretold the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, he emphasized his lack of significance to the world when he says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." The fact of its obscurity having been the birthplace of King David, it shows how little and how low the estate to which the Davidic dynasty had fallen, and the low regard for which it had been held. And from this obscure village would come the most prominent citizen and ruler of the entire world. He will come, keeping with the plan of God, and will fulfill his promises as indicated by the words, "Unto me." Though there will be a specific point in time in which this ruler will come, his earthly manifestation is not the beginning of his existence, for he has had it from the very beginning of eternity past. If there is a beginning of eternity past, he has always been. Yet after 700 years, with so many intervening events, there was little likelihood that one from the line of David would ever be born in Bethlehem. It was almost entirely out of the question. The odds were astronomical. The exiling had driven the people from the land. There was one family in the line of David living in Nazareth, yet Bethlehem was the place where the Son of God was to be born, according to the prophets. And this prophecy was the sole basis on which the scribes directed the wise men to Bethlehem. The scribes quoted from the prophecy of Micah because they believed that was the place where he would be born. Yet even with the arrival of magi and wise men and men of such high honor asking where the new king is, they didn't believe it. They just said, "Oh, the Messiah, yeah, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Best of luck." Herod himself said, "When you find him, let me know. I haven't got the time to travel 6 miles. Yet it is Bethlehem, the house of bread, that Mary, who had the divine bun in the oven, who is the Savior of the world, bread, which is one of the most common things. God wanted his son available to all, and his birth was announced to the shepherds, the common man, not to King Herod. His cradle was a manger, an animal's feeding trough, in a lowly stable. You don't have to be rich or well known or popular to know him. You just need to be you. But Christ was also born in Bethlehem to satisfy our spiritual hunger. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." See, bread is a good comparison to our Lord because he satisfies, he gratifies, he strengthens us spiritually just as bread does physically. Many are eating at the wrong table, according to Isaiah, where he says, "Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare." See, it's easy to get caught up in searching for meaning in life from the wrong things, because there are a lot of things that bring temporary happiness, but only Christ satisfies. the eternal longings of the human spirit. There's been so many attempts at filling that God-shaped hole in our lives. We try materialism and relationships. We try religion and even family. But only God will fill that spiritual hole in our lives. Christ is at the soul of man's needs for spiritual satisfaction. The fact that Jesus was born in the house of bread gives us confidence that God does indeed what he wants to do, what he chooses to do. No matter how insignificant we may seem to ourselves or to the world around us, let me tell you this. God loves you. Anybody done any holiday baking? Yeah, a few of us have. Is it just a coincidence that Jesus would describe himself as the bread of life, come down from heaven and urge people to come to him for sustenance? By using that symbolism, he reinforces an understanding that God is good. I am the bread of life, said Jesus. He is one who knows what to do with bread, for he was born in the house of bread. He can multiply it for the needs of thousands, and he broke it and he gave it as a symbol of his sacrifice on the cross for us. But there's one more reason why Bethlehem. Christ was born in Bethlehem to show us that each of us must choose him as Savior for ourselves. If a person doesn't eat a meal, it doesn't satisfy anyone. I can eat a meal, but it won't satisfy you, will it? You may enjoy watching me eat that meal, but you won't get the benefits of that meal. When God came to Bethlehem, he got something he had never had before, and that was the name of Jesus. He received humanity, and Jesus was his human name. He was Jehovah. He is God. That is the name of his deity. But he is Jesus now. And he is Savior. He came out of Bethlehem to save. The angel said to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Joseph and Mary came out of Nazareth in Galilee and went into Judea and Bethlehem, the city of David. Joseph did this because he was a house in the lineage of David. The simple, historical, accurate passage has tremendous spiritual truth behind it. Because Caesar Augustus was used by God to call all the people back to their hometowns. There was no other possible way to get Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. But you see, Caesar Augustus attempted to make himself a god. He wanted to be worshipped. He signed a tax bill which caused a woman, a man living in Nazareth to journey to Bethlehem to enroll so they could pay more taxes. And the woman was carrying in her womb the Son of God. Caesar Augustus tried to make himself God, but nobody today respects him or pays taxes to him or even cares about him. But that little baby in Mary's womb, so many of us worship him today and call him our Savior. See, Caesar Augustus was just a tool in God's hand to bring about prophecy. He arranged everything to happen that way. If anyone had said to Caesar, "Hey, wait a minute. Do you realize that a woman is about to give birth and you're going to make her travel like 80 miles to get there? Just so you can get more taxes out of him?" I think maybe he would have replied, "I don't care. A baby, more taxes. I'm only interested in taxes, armies, money, luxury." Well, all that is gone including Caesar himself. Was the little town of Bethlehem prepared for what was about to happen? Was the innkeeper, the shepherds, were Mary and Joseph? Not likely. They may have thought they had everything ready, but they had no clue what was really in store for them. Even though the angels visited Mary, even though an angel came and visited Joseph and told them exactly what was going to happen, they weren't really ready for what was going to happen in Bethlehem. And as the great surging sea of humanity crowded Bethlehem and filled the streets with exciting confusion, somewhat like Polo Park, the Bible records one unfortunate result. There was no room for them at the inn. It can happen, can't it? All the things that could possibly have gone right, well, they did. But this one thing, there was no room. Is it possible that we, in all of the hustle and bustle of our holiday preparations, that somehow we perhaps have forgotten the real reason we celebrate? No harm is intended. We didn't mean to forget about it. We just got too busy with stuff. But it happens just as it did in Bethlehem. But rest assured, our Lord, God does not lose us in a crowd. No, he tells us that there's plenty of room in his Father's house. And he promises to prepare a place for us. Will you open your heart and proclaim the good news for all people that the angels proclaimed? Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth, mercy mild. For God and sinners are reconciled. Can you proclaim that incredible truth today? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we humble ourselves before you this evening, I ask that you would just be with us. All those years ago, you sent your Son, Jesus, to be Emmanuel, God with us. And we know that because of him coming to earth as a baby, he came to die on the cross for us. You have not left us alone. You don't lose us. You tell us that there is plenty of room in your Father's house. We praise you for the gift of your Son. And so, Father, I pray that you would just be with us today. Fill our hearts with your Spirit. Come and dwell within us. Thank you so much for your incredible gift. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.